We are studying what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 16. That makes sense, doesn't it? We're going to get there in a few minutes, the book of Exodus chapter 16, which really provides the context for the part of the prayer that we're in today. Give us this day our daily bread. In Luke chapter 11, one of the disciples asks Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And his response to that was, "Pray in this way," or "pray after this manner." In Matthew chapter 6, he gives us a second time, or actually probably Matthew 6 was the first time, and he said, "This is how you should pray." Again, not the words, the pattern. There's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer, but Luke 11 is different than Matthew 6 because Jesus is trying to tell us it's not the words, it's the pattern. And so he begins with "Our Father." Again, remember, start with God when you pray and start with Him as Father. I have a hard time just not repeating my sermon from January the 28th when I talk about God as Father, but I'm just going to reference that. The sermon on January the 28th, 2024, the link will be in the comment section. Start with God as Father. And we talked that Sunday about all that that involves. And then he says it's your Father in heaven or in the heavens. And that reminds us that there is a spiritual world and God rules it. When we pray, we are tapping into the spiritual world, the eternal world, the supernatural world. That's where the answers come from the eternal, spiritual, supernatural world. We must believe as we pray that things are happening in the spiritual world well before we see them happening in the material world. And don't forget the word "our," that praying is not to be selfish, that praying reminds us that we are in this together. And when we say "Our Father," it helps us to remember to pray for others. And then "hallowed be thy name." It means that we are to live worthy of his name, that we are to live a life that brings honor to his name. And we talked about the different names for God used throughout the scriptures. Last week, we were at "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I ask you how God's will is done in heaven. You know, it's immediately, it's completely, it's joyfully. Contrast that to how sometimes we do God's will. We're asking him, "Lord, may I obey your will as the angels do when they are in heaven." And I mentioned to you that praying "thy will be done" is saying, "God, I'm going to surrender to you even before I know what you're going to ask. My answer to you, Lord, will always be yes, even before I know what you're going to ask. Your will be done." And the part of the prayer, "thy kingdom come," is a multifaceted prayer. It's a prayer for conversion, that God's kingdom of righteousness would come in the lives of people. And I ask you then, if you know people that don't know Christ, I hope you're praying for them. And you're praying that God's kingdom will come in their lives. But it's also a prayer for Christ's political kingdom to come to this earth. We know there is coming a day when he's going to set up his kingdom, he's going to rule from David's throne in Jerusalem, and when we pray, "thy kingdom come," we're looking forward to that fulfillment. But here and now, praying "thy kingdom come" means, as Paul says in Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven, and so when we pray "thy kingdom come," we're praying, "God, help me to live and reflect your principles. Help me to live as a kingdom person. Help me to live with your principles, your values, your priorities, your standards." But I sent you also to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. And I suggested to you that as you pray this part of the prayer, you pray that for yourself, for your family, for those you're praying for. God, I pray righteousness for them. And if you study righteousness in the Bible, it means a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. God, help them in their relationships. Peace. The scripture talks about having peace with God, having the peace of God that holds us steady, and then having peace with other people. And then the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're saying, God, you are my Lord. You know, you remember the kids used to say, you're not the boss of me. Well, Lord, you are the boss of me. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now we come to the section of the prayer where we are acknowledging our complete dependence on God. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those prayers are an acknowledgement of our complete and total dependence on God. Now, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, what all does that involve? And this is where Exodus 16 comes in. Now, we know that the children of Israel, the disciples to whom Jesus is teaching this, were well familiar with the story of the Passover. You know, they told it every year at Passover. It was just part of the fabric of their faith and of their lives, how God supernaturally delivered them from Israel. They knew about the Passover and the blood on the doorposts and lintel of the house. They knew about the miraculous deliverance through the Red Sea. And you have to believe that they knew the story of Exodus 16, because it's such an important part of the story of what happened to the children of Israel once they got out of Egypt. And so when Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, I have an idea. I can't prove this to you, but you can't disprove it. But I have an idea that the minds of the disciples went to Exodus 16 when he said, give us this day our daily bread. The children of Israel want something to eat. Exodus chapter 16, verse 13. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it's the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer, that was a certain amount, for each person in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much didn't have too much. The one who gathered little didn't have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. That's where clean your plate came from. No one is to keep any of it till morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. Later in the chapter, it says that they called this manna, which is the Hebrew word for what is it? So you know, you get this picture the first morning, manna, 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 what is it? What is it? You know, maybe you've had some meals served to you like that. What is it? What is it? Just call it manna. The cook will not be offended. And verse 35, and I don't know that I knew this. Verse 35 says that they ate it for 40 years till they came to the border of Canaan. Now, some of you are shuddering when you think about that, because you don't like it if you get served the same meal twice in the month. Can you imagine eating manna every meal for 40 years? I did not do the math, but that's a lot of manna. And I'm sure whoever did the cooking for the family tried to come up with all kinds of ways to make that manna, you know, taste different from one meal to the next. But this is the context in which the disciples heard, "Give us this day our daily bread." Because they knew the story that if you gathered more than what you needed for the day, it was going to rot. Because God was teaching them, you can trust me every day for what you need. So let's dig into this. First of all, again, notice it's plural. Give us our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with praying for your needs. Just make sure you're praying for other people too. Remember, when you pray, part of your prayer life is to be praying for others. And God will bring to your mind who you need to be praying for. Sometimes God will bring people to your mind that you haven't thought about in a long time. That's a signal. Pray for them. You might be surprised that that's exactly the day they needed some extra prayer. Give us our daily bread. But as we pray for daily bread, we need to remember that there are some prerequisites before we can pray this prayer. And we need to ask, am I doing my part before I ask God for my daily bread? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, a verse that I think maybe would be a good verse for public policy. If a man will not work, doesn't mean he cannot work. If he will not work, he shall not eat. That's just a principle of God's word. And so my question is, are you working to provide income? And if you're unemployed and you're employable, are you looking for work? Because God may well provide the answer to this prayer by giving you a job. Give us our daily bread. God, I need to do my part. I need to make sure that I'm doing my part to be able to pray this prayer. And then you go to Malachi chapter 3, and you know that famous passage starting in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are you robbing? How are we robbing you? And he says, in tithes and offerings, because you're under a curse, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there won't be room to contain it. So when we're praying, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, God, I need to do my part in working, and I need to do my part in putting you first in my giving. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, in case somebody's ever told you Jesus never preached on tithing, he said to the people, you give a tenth of your spices. They would go through their crops, and every tenth spice they would pull and give it to God. But he said, you've neglected the more important things like justice and mercy and faithfulness. You ought to have done the latter and not neglected the former. The King James says, you ought to have done this. Jesus says, you ought to tithe. And it's hard for God to give you your daily bread when you're stealing from him in your finances. So it's important that we understand when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not saying, God, I'm just going to kick back and let you take care of me. We say, God, I know that I have a responsibility to look for employment, and I know that I have a responsibility to put you first in my tithes and offerings. He promises in Matthew 7, if your son asks for bread, you won't give him a stone. If he asks for fish, you won't give him a snake. And if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And the end of Matthew 6, now remember, Matthew 6 starts with the Lord's Prayer. The end of Matthew 6, he says, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Because I've already told you to pray, give us this day our daily bread. The pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Give us this day our daily bread. He is teaching us that God is our source and our supply. And actually, that's this whole section. Give us bread, forgive our sins, lead us not into temptation. Those are not luxuries. What we're saying is, God, you are my source and my supply for physical life. You are my source for everything I need for my well-being. You have to supply what I need to be sustained spiritually. I cannot live spiritually if you don't forgive my sins. I can't survive spiritually if you don't protect me from temptation and from the evil one. So we're asking for the basics of life. Feed us, forgive us, protect us. And he says, give our daily bread. And again, that's not saying I'm going to quit my job and God's just going to send it in supernaturally. Doesn't work that way. It does mean that God is our source. Please understand that prayer is never a way out of responsibility. Prayer is often accompanied by responsibility on our part. What this prayer is a reminder that God's the source of every single thing. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 is a key verse. The Message paraphrases it like this. If you start thinking to yourselves, I did all this, and all by myself. I'm rich, it's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth, to confirm the covenant that he promised to your ancestors, as it is today. What Moses is saying to them and to us is never forget that God gives you the abilities that you are using to make money. God is the source of your knowledge. God is the source of your intelligence. God is the source of your skill set. He is the source of your talents. He is the source of your abilities. What you have that you use to make a living comes from God. So therefore, everything we have comes from him, because he is the one who gives us those abilities, whether it's working with our minds or working with our hands, working in manual labor or working in technology, or however it is that we make or made our living, it came from God. And by the way, he can take it away in a matter of seconds. And we need to remember that everything we have comes from him. Now, the hard part of this prayer for me is the word daily. One commentator called it the only perplexing word in this prayer, because the Greek word that's translated here daily is only used two times in the New Testament. Here in Matthew 6, in what we call the Lord's Prayer, and in Luke 11, with what we call the Lord's Prayer. And this word is not used a lot in the Greek language outside of the New Testament. So commentators are kind of stuck with, well, what exactly does this mean? But a few years ago, archaeologists found a fragment in one of their digs that appeared to be a woman's shopping list, because there were, you know, food items on the list, and next to some of them was this word, daily. And so they extrapolated from that it either meant buy it each day, or this is what you need today. And that just confirms how we would understand, give us our daily bread. It means bread for today. If you pray this prayer in the morning, you're praying, God, give me today what I need for today. If you do your praying in the evening, it's, God, give me tomorrow what I'm going to need for you from you tomorrow. He's teaching us to depend on Him moment by moment on a day-to-day basis. Now hold that thought. Go back to Exodus 16. Here's what the tribe of Pastor Ken would have done when Moses said, here's the manna, get enough for today. I'd have gone home to Donna and said, I need every pot and pan you have. I need every container you have. I think there's a wheelbarrow out back. I need that because there's food out there and I'm going to get enough for the week, maybe enough for the month. That's just the way I'm wired up. And in the morning, I'd have heard, Ken, come down here and get this rotten, stinking, smelly, maggot-infested stuff out of this house. I think I'm intelligent enough that day two, when I went out to gather, I wouldn't gather quite as much. But I also know myself well enough that I know and I'd have gathered more than a day. Because, you know, God might forget tomorrow. And I'm responsible to feed my family, so I'm going to have some extra. And the same thing would have happened. And I hope that by day three, I would have trusted Him for daily bread. Does that resonate with anybody else? He is not saying it's wrong to plan for the future. He's not saying it's wrong to have a nest egg. He's not saying it's wrong to plan for retirement. He's not saying any of that. What he is saying is, you just remember God, your source, and ask Him each day for what you need for that day. The word bread also bothers me. I'm not a huge bread fan, but back in New Testament days, bread was the staple of life. They baked it fresh every day. It was an essential part of their living. I want to pray, give me this day my daily filet mignon or, you know, something. And daily bread? But what he's teaching us is pray for what you need for that day. And if you've ever had children, you know that needs and wants are two different things. And even as adults, isn't it hard sometimes to learn that needs and wants are two different things? And he says, give me this day our daily bread, because bread is a symbol for everything that is necessary for our lives that day. It includes food. You know, again, Matthew 6, he talks about food and clothing and shelter. He says, God knows you need these things. Give us our daily bread. I want to make sure that you understand it's okay to pray for material things. That's part of what daily bread is. Give me my food for today. Give me sustenance for today. Give me shelter today. Give me clothing today. Give me what I need physically, materially, today. But as I study this, it seems to me that the concept of daily bread means everything you need for that day. If you have a schedule of events, I think it would be smart for you, either the night before or the morning of, to pray through your schedule. Lord, I've got this meeting. I don't know what I'm going to face. I need your help with that. God, I know I've got to deal with this client and they're always a pain. Give me patience. Okay, you know, pray through the responsibilities of the day. And that changes from day to day. I mean, we all need food, clothing, and shelter every day. There are things we need from God every day. Peace, health, protection, you know, there are things we need from God every day. But sometimes our daily bread means something more. When I think about this, I think about those years when I was on call at the hospital nights and the pager would go off. Never a good thing when a chaplain's pager goes off at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to be somebody wants to be happy. And so as I'm getting myself together and driving down Calhoun Expressway, I am praying. I'm not saying give me my daily bread, but it's the prayer I'm praying. God, I have no idea what I'm going to walk into here. Give me what I need. You know, give me the words to say. Give me the right attitude. Give me the right presence. Give me what I need. My prayer for daily bread is different when I pray for Sunday than it is when I'm on vacation. Because I need something different from God to prepare and declare His word. So you understand what I'm saying, that your prayer for daily bread, some of it will be the same every day, but there will be days when you will need something else from Him. Lord, today I'm facing this health crisis. I need some wisdom. Lord, you know this crisis at work that I've got to deal with when I show up in the morning. Help me to know what to do. Lord, you know this thing that's just festering and building up in the relationship. Lord, please calm it down and help me to know how to handle it. Give us our daily bread, wisdom, patience, strength, clarity. Give me what I need for today. I encourage you to add that to your prayer if you don't already. When you get to give us this day our daily bread, you pray through your day. If you know that your kids maybe have a big work meeting and maybe they're having a meeting with their boss that may determine, you know, whether or not they get a promotion, you ought to be praying about that. You know, they have a meeting with the banker to see if they can get the loan for the house. You ought to be praying about that. And it's like, Lord, give us today what we need for today. Because see, remember when he said, hallowed be thy name? He is our provider. He has seen ahead of time what we need, and he's provided it. This prayer is just the practical prayer from Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you're my provider. You knew what I was going to need for today. Give me today what I need for today. Physically, materially, financially, spiritually, in every way in my life. The challenges I'm going to face today. And, you know, I say pray through your schedule, but sometimes our schedule gets all messed up, doesn't it? Lord, you know what I'm going to face today. Give me today my daily bread. Give me what I need for today. Someone has said that in this prayer you have gratitude because you are recognizing that God is your source and you're thanking Him for His provision. And by the way, when you pray, give us our daily bread, that'd be a good time to reflect back over the times God has met your needs in the past, times that you were down to your last penny and God supernaturally intervened, times when you didn't think you could make it and you did. Think about God's provision in the past. It will build your faith to ask for your daily bread today. It speaks of contentment, my bread, what I need. It speaks for confidence, because if I'm praying for daily bread, that means I've got the confidence and faith that tomorrow I'll have my daily bread for tomorrow, and next week I'll have my daily bread for that day. And then it includes generosity, our daily bread. This is a reminder of our total dependence on Him. And it is a reminder that He is our provider. God, give me today what I'm going to need for today. And He knows what that is. We don't always, but He does. Give us this day our daily bread. Why don't we pray the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, and give you your daily bread, now and evermore. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here today. You're dismissed.